Hello, this is Pastor Robert from Esterhazy Baptist Church in Esterhazy, Saskatchewan. Thank you for joining us today. This message is for the week of November 19, 2023. It's entitled Life's Deadly Follies, Wrath, Part 1. Proverbs chapter 24, 17 and 18 is one of the passages we will be looking at. The call to worship is from Psalm 104, verses 1, 33, 34, and second half of 35. Praise the Lord, my soul. Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty. I will sing to the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. May my meditation be pleasing to him as I rejoice in the Lord. Praise the Lord, my soul. Praise the Lord. Sin. We don't like to think about it or talk about it. Unless, of course, it's someone else's sin. Our own sin often goes unrecognized and unconfessed, which means we see little change in our spiritual lives. Now, a 4th century monk created a list of 8 common sins to help people be aware of them and guard against them. Pope Gregory I reduced this list to 7 in the 6th century: sloth, anger, envy, pride, lust, gluttony, and greed. Today, we are looking at the sin of wrath or anger, using the book of Proverbs and other passages from the Bible. This topic is huge, so this will be a 2-part sermon. Today, we will seek to understand the sin of wrath, and next week, we will look at God's answer to our problem with wrath. Wrath is not a word we use in our daily conversations. So let's start by understanding what we mean. What do you think of when you hear the word wrath? Perhaps it's your high school English, the grapes of wrath, or the wrath of God, or fire and brimstone. Wrath has the idea of judgment, revenge, or vengeance. Wrath and anger are used interchangeably in some Bible verses. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1 says, "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." The Merriam-Webster's Collegiate Dictionary defines wrath as strong, vengeful anger or indignation. A second definition is retributory punishment for an offense or a crime. Divine chastisement. Proverbs sees anger as the response of a fool. Proverbs 14, verse 7 says, "Short-tempered people do foolish things, and schemers are hated." Proverbs 30, 32 to 33, "If you have been a fool by being proud or plotting evil, cover your mouth in shame. As the beatings of cream yields butter, and striking the nose causes bleeding, so stirring up anger causes quarrels." Our wrath stirs up a lot of trouble. Now, here are some statements about anger. Here's a quote from Dr. John Hunter, which has some sobering truth for all of us. He said, "My life is in the hands of any fool who makes me lose my temper." Wow. It may feel good to honk at and tailgate the person who cut you off. That is, until they start to follow you home or pull out a baseball bat or a gun at the next traffic light. Also, the idea that someone else makes you lose your temper is a false one. Anger is an emotion, but how you respond to the emotion of anger is a choice, as well as a habit. It's a learned reaction to frustration. Susan Marcotte challenges us to rethink our use of anger to deal with difficulties with this word picture. Anger helps straighten out a problem, like a fan helps straighten out a pile of papers. And Robert G. Ingersoll said, anger blows out the lamp of the mind. In the examination of a great and important question, everyone should be serene, slow-pulsed, and calm. That quote needs to be projected on the screen during some church's business meetings. Anger blows out the lamp of the mind. This is why often after an angry outburst, you hear someone say, I wasn't thinking clearly. Giving in to the impulse of our anger will do that. As someone has said, anger manages everything badly. Parents, this is why it is recommended that you do not discipline your children in anger. And children are probably happy to hear that, but listen, besides that, you'll probably come up with a much more effective method of correction when you take time to think and pray through the matter. A November 11th, 2023 article in the Calgary Herald on anger reports, anger can kill you. On the website everydayhealth.com, Dr. Chris Eichen of Wake Forest University School of Medicine says, in the 2 hours after an angry outburst, the chance of having a heart attack doubles. Other experts note that the risk of stroke triples in those 2 hours after an angry outburst, and the risk of a brain blood vessel aneurysm goes up 6 times. Wow! Anger is not only harmful to its recipients, but also to the host. Proverbs says the wise response to an offense, insult, or argument is patience. Patience, Proverbs 12:16. A fool is quick-tempered, but a wise person stays calm when insulted. Proverbs 14:29 says, people with understanding control their anger. A hot temper shows great foolishness. Proverbs 24:29. And Proverbs 16:23 says, better a patient man than a warrior, a man who controls his temper, than one who takes a city. In other words, if you want to be a real hero, learn to control your anger. Now let's think about understanding the sin of wrath, of anger. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 26 and 27 is a verse you may hear brought up when you start talking about anger and the sin of anger. Ephesians 4, 26 and 27 says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. From this passage, it is clear that anger is not always a sin. James Boyce, in his commentary on Ephesians, says of the anger discussed here, we are probably to understand it as being a controlled or righteous anger, as opposed to an uncontrolled, selfish, or sinful anger. This is because anger itself is not a sin. Scores of Old Testament passages speak of the just anger of God against the wicked and even against his own people when they persist in disobedience. Jesus was angry on several occasions. Indeed, even we can experience righteous anger. That is why Paul introduces this subject by a quotation from Psalm chapter 4, verse 4, in your anger do not sin, which makes a distinction between sinful and sinless wrath. End of quote. Anger is an appropriate response to injustice or sin, but it must be controlled and corralled, that is, kept in boundaries, given boundaries. Our response is not to be sinful, nor allowing our anger to simmer beyond the setting of the sun. Now, from personal bad experience in handling anger, simmering includes reviewing the offense in your mind over and over and over, or imagining other things that I should have said, or responding to future imaginary encounters with the individual. This is in my mind. Or retelling the incident to other people. And I've noticed each time my emotions are aroused again, almost like the first incident, and my story gets better. I put a little bit more emphasis into it. And I need to help them just see how terrible it was what had happened. And as I do that, I begin to realize I'm putting the roots of this down deeper and deeper into my being. It's not good for me. It's not good for me to simmer on anger. Do not do this. Don't simmer in your anger. We are clearly warned that the dangers of handling anger inappropriately is that we will give the devil a foothold in our life. The New Century Bible translates this verse as, "When you are angry, do not sin, and be sure to stop being angry before the end of the day. Do not give the devil a way to defeat you." Do not give the devil a way to defeat you. Our rotting anger gives the devil a way to defeat us. Uncontrolled, selfish, or sinful anger grieves the Holy Spirit of God, whom dwells within believers. Christians, that's why anger is listed in verse 31 of Ephesians chapter 4 as something we are to get rid of, along with bitterness, rage, brawling, and slander. God's wrath, his displeasure with human beings and their sinful actions, is tempered with his patience, his love, and his forgiveness. And we see this expressed to us ultimately in Jesus Christ, the second member of the Trinity. Our wrath, when responding to a personal offense, rarely has this balance. As human beings, we are created in the image of God. So it's not surprising that we have a natural sense of justice, of right and wrong, and we feel anger when people get away with doing wrong. There's a tendency within us then to want to do something about it. However, remember that God has put rulers and laws in place for societies to enforce justice rather than letting individuals take justice into their own hands. We've seen where that leads. So why does God warn us against wrath and bitterness? We are seeking to execute our own justice, and in doing so, we are trying to do a job that belongs to God alone. He will execute judgment. James chapter 1, verses 19 to 20 says, "Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires." Jonathan Atkin, in an Exalting Jesus in Proverbs, says, "When you refuse to lay down a grudge, you reveal that you do not trust that God is able to deal with an injustice to your satisfaction. We see this truth throughout the book of Proverbs. People are wrathful because they do not trust the wrath of God to make things right. End of quotation. Proverbs 20:22 says, "Don't say, 'I will get even for this.' Wait for the Lord to handle the matter." It's saying, don't take it into your own hands. Wait for the Lord to handle the matter. Now, you might respond to this by saying, "Listen, I've never acted on my anger. I've never physically hurt anyone. So I have it under control," right? Well, what does Jesus say about it? That's what we always have to ask ourselves. You can ask others for opinion, but go to the Bible. What does it say? In Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 and 22, Jesus says to us, "You have heard that our ancestors were told, 'You must not murder.' If you commit murder, you are subject to judgment. But I say, if you are even angry with someone, you are subject to judgment. If you call someone an idiot, you are in danger of being brought before the court. And if you curse someone, you are in danger of the fires of hell." Jesus then goes on in chapter 5 to tell us to settle matters quickly with those who have something against us. It reminds us of that, what Paul said, "Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry." The truth is, we can be angry without the yelling and hitting or breaking of things. Sometimes in anger, we hurt others with words, spreading lies and rumors. Or maybe we stop engaging and caring, kind of a physical or emotional strike. "I don't care. You can do whatever you want. Doesn't matter to me." You know, that kind of thing. We've probably all done it, if not experienced it. Suppressing our anger or renaming it frustration or irritation doesn't make it any less of an anger problem that you need to deal with. The problem is, in my anger, whether I've been loud or quiet, I hurt people I care about, and I've behaved in a way that doesn't reflect the grace and kindness that God has shown to me, and so I have sinned. However, you say, "What about when someone has done something really wrong? Don't I have a right to be angry with them and want to see them face judgment? Can't I make them pay?" Pastor Chuck Swindoll, in his collection of stories, says, "I like the attitude of the preacher who refused to take revenge. Instead, he said, 'I'm not going to get even. I'm going to tell God on you.'" Proverbs chapter 20, verse 22 assures us that God is aware of the offense and he will deal with it. So leave it in his good care. That verse says, "Don't say, 'I will get even for this wrong.' Wait for the Lord to handle the matter." We've looked at our anger and wrath as sin. But what can we do about the unforgiveness that our anger generates within us? Next week, we are going to look at God's antidote to our wrath. For our closing benediction, let me read from Colossians chapter 3, verse 15a, 16a, and 17. "Let the peace that Christ gives control your thinking. Let the teaching about Christ live in you richly. Let everything you do or say be done to obey Jesus your Lord. And in all you do, give thanks to God the Father through Jesus. Amen. Thank you for joining us today. May the Lord bless you.